And so that would be about 45, end of 44, 45. So the Russians are in. So now she made contact with London, my parents. So we were in contact again. And now was the business, how do we get out? So she went every day and put in petitions here and there. And I suppose our luck was because we were too young to be of use to the communist state. The grandmas were too old, so eventually they let us go. End of 46, she got the papers and we emigrated. So I'm not a refugee, I'm an emigrant. And we even got some of the furniture out. So we were reunited in 1946. So we met our parents for the first time. Well, yeah. In
And do the
London.
boys have much of a memory of the no, I was
No,
going to say.
the boys don't remember as much as I do.
Because and would they have remembered their parents because there were only two?
No, there were only two. They didn't remember the parents. I
And
hardly remember my father. I just remember one or two incidents with my mother, jumping up and down in her bed, or, you know, her teaching me how to pray and things like that. But no.
And how was it when you
Pardon?
met them for the first time?
Well, the wonderful thing was that this little grandma of mine was a really remarkable woman, and she always talked about my parents, so much so, showed us pictures that we felt we knew them, told us stories about their childhood, everything. So that they weren't strange, and showed us photographs. She says in her letters that I kiss the photographs every day, and you know, and why aren't they coming back? But I didn't, I myself, you know, I felt I knew them because she made it so. I mean, I think back now how clever she was, how insightful, you know, she was a wonderful, wonderful woman. So, but then I was very disappointed because I was dying to see my brother and sister, John and Eva, the English ones, but they weren't at home. I was desperately disappointed. It wasn't till December that I saw them because, unbeknown to me, they had been evacuated during the war, and they were at first in a Jewish nurse in Knutsford near Manchester, in a Jewish nursery, and I was bullying my parents. So in December, they myself and my two grandmothers, I don't think the boys were there, to Manchester, and they spent the night there. And I remember there was an announcement on the news that in this particular nursing home, a fire had broken out and a child had died. And my father went berserk, but it wasn't my brother and sister. So the next day we went there, and we went to this nursing home, and my father went in with the grandmothers, and I was just sitting outside, and this little girl comes in and out to go to the loo or something, and she's looks me up and down. And later on I was introduced to her as my sister. And of course we couldn't communicate. They were 4 years old and I was 11, and we had no language in common. So I spent the night there in the nursery with it was December and it was cold. I remember lying in a cot beside my little brother John, and we just sort of held hands in the dark, you know, across the bed. So they stayed there. We went back to London, and you know, then our life began in in England.
What did your father do during the war?
My father, he first worked in, I think, in a bookshop, or he had some Hungarian contacts in London. He was a jeweler by trade. And then he worked for a man called Mr. Wies, who was a jeweler. I think he was a jeweler anyway, and in an office. And eventually, that's what he did during the war, yes. And after the war, he went into partnership with another Hungarian and opened a shop in Hatton Garden. And my brother Joe eventually carried on. Two of my brothers are in the trade.
All right, and is that jewelry?
Yep. And little grandma in one of her letters says to my parents during the 40s, you know, maybe one day Joseph will, or one of them will carry on. And that's what happened.
So you went to school in London, And you said you
I
must
went
have had
to school in London for a year.
Right, which, as you said, very steep learning curve to...
Well, yes, I couldn't speak. I went first in Golders Green. We lived in... My parents had to buy a new house and move to Golders Green because, you know, the family was going to be enlarged. And I went to the local school in Golders Green. They put me in there. The first week I arrived, couldn't speak. I had a few words like window and pencil and nothing else. And two of the little girls from the school came and picked me up and walked me to school. And all I knew was that when they said 54, I had to say yes, because I was number 54 in the class.
54?
On the register.
On the register. And during lunchtime, because there were too many children in the school, we went. There were British restaurants, wartime restaurants, and a bunch of us went to the British restaurant, and I remember sitting there crying my eyes out because I didn't know how to use a knife and fork. These little girls were eating with all sorts of strange things like Spam, which I thought was terrible with these jelly bits in it, and custard. I'd never eaten custard, and I didn't know how to use the implements. But anyway, after Christmas, my parents put me into a boarding school, a weekly boarding school in London, in Sheen, to learn English. Mm-hmm. And I'd go home, and I was crying. I said, why'd you put me up? Been waiting all this time, now you've sent me away again, you know. I was devastated. But anyway, I went to school there and I just learned English. I just had to. If I didn't know what grass was, they took me out and they showed me, that's grass, you know. And it took me about a year. And then they put me into a friend's school in Saffron Walden, which was really away. But by this time I was 12, and my contemporaries were learning a second language. And it was desperate for me to learn French when I hardly speak English. And, you know, I'd have to conjugate verbs, and I couldn't do it, you know. And the teacher in desperation said, well, do it in Hungarian. So I'd put it on the board, conjugate it in Hungarian, and then he'd be pleased because he recognized the Latin, you know, he went off on it. I was left off the hook. So I was there only a year only a term, because they had a infantile paralysis broke out and one of the children died. And my parents whipped me out, you know, didn't want me to get it, my sort of still dilapidated state. And I then went to a school, which was an extraordinary school. It was a progressively co-educational school, and my brothers were already there in Kent, called Longdean School, which had its foundations actually in Scotland, I discovered, in a school called Kilquanity, somewhere in Ayrshire. And it was run, they put me there because it was run on, well, it was very free. It had a farm attached. Education wasn't a high priority, but, you know, the arts and farming, and, you know, it was to build us up. And so I was there till I was 16, and managed to fail most of my O-levels. But undaunted, I went to another school and started on my A-levels.
So were you? Was that residential as well?
Yes, yes, right. It was in Kent, yes. It was in Chiddingston, near Tunbridge Wells, in a castle, Chiddingston Castle, right. An old pseudo-castle. And it was a wonderful place, really. And the friends I made there, school children, still have, you know. So it was the beginning of proper education. Mm-hmm. From there, at 16, I went to Welwyn Garden City, to a proper school where they taught you lessons. And concentrated on the academic side. So I was there for a couple of years. And then
you went to university.
Well, I was allowed to give up things like maths, and you needed maths. I didn't know the difference between arts and sciences. So, you know, I had to do a lot of work during the holidays. And when I went to the school in Wellingarden City, I had to take up science and maths, you know, 16 from scratch, because, you know, I was allowed to give it up. That wasn't so important. Mm-hmm. In Longin School, the teachers, only the headmaster had a degree. They were refugees, and, you know.
Were they Jewish refugees or was it a mixture of refugees?
The teachers. Mm-hmm. Well, one was a Sri Lankan.
Right.
He wasn't Jewish, but I think I only learned recently that the nurse was Jewish, mm-hmm. and the German teacher was half and half.
And the children who were there, were they...
The children were mostly, well, delinquents sent by London County Council because of the free atmosphere. But the trouble is that the balance was tipped in favour of them, you know, because they paid for it. See, right. My parents paid for us. But they had too many of these children, so the school really went. In fact, but in 1952, it went into disillusion because some of the staff were a little delinquent. But it was a sort of free and happy place. We got plenty to eat and the arts.
And I think compared with what you'd gone through...
Yeah, it was. This is why my parents put us there. And, you know, I think you could be a vegetarian there. You know, it was all... health, and mm-hmm. it was avant-garde, it mm-hmm. was, you know.
And you could be a child.
Pardon?
You could be a child.
Yes, yes, and, mm-hmm. and you know, we had a wonderful time there. We built a lorry with the biology teacher, and on this lorry we went to Italy and Spain, and we made costumes out of sackcloth and dyed it and acted on Shakespeare plays. You know, we had mm-hmm. real fun. But academic education wasn't too seriously taken.
But on the other hand, it's a holistic view
of
education.
It was. Mm-hmm. I never regretted it. It was mm-hmm. wonderful.